Welcome to Castarbus. My name is Christian Corley. His name is James McLean, and we have been summoned here like errant time lords by the High Council to...
Oh, you spoilt it. I liked the summoned here. That felt vaguely mystical and, I don't know, ethereal energy, and now it just sounds like damp nerds finding an excuse to attach themselves to the dull conventions and hierarchies of Gallifrey to make themselves feel important.
Oh, well, I just had sudden images of the three doctors. I thought it seemed appropriate.
I think Sutek would have been better. I like the summoning of Sutek is more fun.
Okay, let's not
that
get
music's
into,
cool.
Let's not get into Sutek.
The organ music. If we had the organ music,
okay, that came in,
wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, we'll be good. Maybe we could get the organ music. But anyway, we are here to discuss some quite interesting news in the world of Doctor Who. You probably know why we're here by the title and everything. So I want to start off with just a little bit of a... This is completely personal. This is hearsay. This isn't anything to ground your opinion of what's going on in. But let me present it to you in this way. I have a pair of nieces who are in their 20s now. And I have two children of 13 and a younger child of 8. Okay? So you can see there's a slightly kind of 7-year, 8-year cycle through these. When the David Tennant, Matt Smith era was on TV, my nieces, they were ranging through the ages. I mean, the Doctor Who came back in 2005, so they grew up with it through 8, through 13, 14, 15. When Peter Capaldi became the Doctor, they lost interest around the age of 13, 14. But they loved it before that, particularly around the 8, 9 age. My oldest children, they're 13. No one in their school watches Doctor Who at all. No one is interested in Doctor Who. As my daughter said, you just don't. Okay? This is not a thing that school-aged children now are doing. Whether on iPlayer or anything else, they're just not interested. And I think that's significant. Now, my 8-year-old, she isn't particularly interested in current Doctor Who, but she's watching older Doctor Who on iPlayer. Which, again, I think that's kind of interesting. Because the age that's coincided with all five of these children is the age of 8. They're all watching Doctor Who around the age of 8. But the older ones have all abandoned it at around the same sort of age. Now, I've seen figures recently concerning Doctor Who, a statement from Russell T Davies, who said something along the lines of the under-16 demographic is really strong. I'm really struggling to understand, based on what I've just said to you, and again, this is only from my little world, I really don't see how that is a thing at all, which we'll get into the bones of this in a moment, but what do you think about this, James?
Well, I sit on more of a counter side. I think... I would say his argument about it being strong. I think that the danger, I think, as people interested in this show and its sort of long-runningness of it, its longevity, is that we tend to sort of do very, very swift comparisons, which would be kind of doable 30 years ago, 20 years ago, between Doctor Who in say, the 70s to the 80s, or even 60s to the 80s. But the change in how... In television and its consumption is so radical, I don't think we can make those easy crossovers. And I think there's a way of sort of saying here that doesn't undermine, it doesn't exclude your position on this. I think yes. I think there is absolutely no doubt that there are far less children watching Doctor Who than there have been before. And the reason for this is not a benchmark of quality. It's not to do particularly, I don't think, even with how it's distributed. I think it's just simply there is so much stuff that for it to have that same sort of playground engagement or interest is just not there. Because it's not even just like there's so much stuff in the same way. I mean, say, for instance, a child who has interests in 2007 to a child who has an interest in 2025... Mm-hmm. There's enough stuff out there now that the nuances of that child's interests can be served. While in 2007, maybe that child would have gone to Doctor Who because it had been the nearest thing to their interest. So I think Doctor Who, because it's always had a very broad appeal and been deliberate in that, it kind of gets eroded by the fact that now everything is so nuanced that if you are interested in a certain style of show or a certain style of characterization, you'll probably find it. And it might eclipse what Doctor Who would have done. So I think there is an issue that, yeah, a lot less people generally are going to be watching Doctor Who. Mm. I think, yeah, a lot less kids are going to be watching Doctor Who, in part also, but not just because, as you say, we don't watch BBC in the same way. iPlayer is not the first port of call for most kids, but it's still there. If kids wanted to watch it, they'd find it. So let's not pretend that that's the only issue here. But I think the key thing here is the market for TV is just so rich with nuanced stuff, while when we were kids, it was so rich with broad range stuff, which was to capture as many people as possible. I think it does struggle. I don't think on the topic that we're going on to today, I don't think that's the issue here. But I think it is an issue. I just think we just don't see it. I think a lot of people who look at Doctor Who, we don't tend to think of it in the sense of the market space it's in, which is different now to even when Matt Smith was around. You know, if you think about when Matt Smith was around, it was still pretty much BBC or Sky in the UK anyway. Mm. You know, you didn't really go beyond those confines. It's not until 2013 and streaming comes in. And now I've got Netflix, I've got Sky at the moment, I've got Disney Plus still going, I've got Prime. You know, that's a lot of channels showing a lot of stuff. And that's not even taking into account that occasionally I like to dip into ITVX for some old school stuff.
Yeah.
Or iPlayer, which actually does have some decent stuff on there, including, strangely enough, Doctor Who.
Strangely enough, yeah.
It's just crazy. And their catalogue is great. iPlayer's got some great stuff. One Piece is now on there, which is great. If you've not watched One Piece, be careful. It's over 1,000 episodes. It's incredible. I was looking, you know, Champion is finally back on there. Life on Mars is back on there. Well, there was something else that they've put on there recently. I mean, obviously the Box of Delights that we talked about was on there, but there was something else I saw on there the other day and I was like, oh, wow, they've got that back. I can't think what it was, but there's a lot of good stuff on that. A lot of, you know, really strong catalogue on the BBC iPlayer. So, yeah, how does this show find its identity? And also, it does have to contend with that it does have a lot of media negativity towards it, which isn't, I don't think, entirely based around the quality of the show, but just the kind of the direction of the show, which there are obviously strong opinions on. So I think it is a difficult space for it.
So on the 17th, the evening of the 17th, so on Monday evening, but it mainly gained traction yesterday on Tuesday, the 18th of February. The Sun published a story, Doctor Who facing axe as lead star Shuti Gatwa, I've lost track of that, his pronunciation, I'm afraid, sorry, quits amid, in quotes, amid woeful ranting, sorry, oh, that sounds like he's had a tantrum. No, quits amid woeful rating and fans' fury at woke storylines.
Yeah.
Doctor Who is facing the axe with star Gatwa, we'll say, poised to quit and crew claiming to be laid off. The recent series suffered abysmal ratings with fans outraged by the BBC shoehorning wokery into storyline. Shoehorning wokery sounds like an evening session. Excellent phrasing. And now on the evening session, we've got a shoehorning wokery, a session we recorded at the Galactic Arms on Wednesday, the 3rd of December. Bosses have postponed any decision until Gatwa's second season has aired later this year, but he is believed to have already filmed his regeneration exit scene, and the crew fear the BBC will shelve the show after 62 years. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the Doctor Who Locations Twitter account has observed that some considerable reshoots have been done recently. And as he's or she stated on the on the Monday evening, it's quite clear to me that if you're doing reshoots 9 months after an episode originally wrapped in the run up to transmission, amongst major uncertainty, something is up. And there's all these conversations about things like the Boosies deal with Disney, which apparently they're getting $10 million per episode. And I'm looking at Doctor Who and I'm thinking, I'm not seeing $10 million there, am I? So, is that? I mean, that's probably another conversation, but I was surprised by the amount of money involved there.
It's a lot of money.
It is. We've also got articles in other organs describing the situation with insider leaks and stuff. The Telegraph, for example, has "Nobody knows what Disney is going to do," says an insider. "Clearly, it would be a much more positive situation if Disney, at the end of Series 1, said, we definitely want to go ahead with Series 3. The fact that the decision has been delayed until after Series 2 has gone out does say something." Now, the BBC obviously haven't been silent on this. And they say, a spokesperson for Doctor Who has reported, "This story is incorrect. Doctor Who has not been shelved. As we have previously stated, the decision on Series 3 will be made after Season 2 airs. The deal with Disney Plus was for 26 episodes, and exactly half of those still have to transmit. As for the rest, we never comment on Doctor Who and future storylines." Russell T Davies, this is the thing that I was talking about at the top of the show. "In coming back, I wanted to make it simpler and I wanted to make it younger. Those two things are often not discussed. You read reactions to it and people are missing that. It's simpler and younger and it is working. The under-16s and the 16 to 34 audience as well is massive. It's not doing that well in the ratings, but it's doing phenomenally well with the younger audience that we wanted." Now, I'm really not convinced by that at all, which, you know, obviously we don't know what Disney stats are for this either, do we? We can only get a small impression of that from the US side with their rating system, and they haven't been released for this.
I mean, it was always said, as far as I recall, that Disney was going to run this in, you know, two season blocks. So I do feel a lot of this is, I mean, we know, and as we sort of talked about the time, and we knew from backdoor conversation, from various conversations with people around, you know, back in sort of 2010 to 2013, show was in a lot of trouble, even though it was doing high ratings, and not because of the same situations, but there was issues between BBC and the production.
Yeah.
There was issues with the sort of the pace of material being prepared, you know, that the split season was not because Doctor Who was, it was better for Doctor Who and kids, as was kind of suggested at the time by the showrunner, but was because stuff wasn't ready. And, you know, that's how the thing goes. But we didn't see that sort of reporting of concern then. I mean, we didn't even see this reporting concern back at the end of Tennant, when there was, you know, real considerations about, you know, where the show went. But I feel a lot of this is tied in to the very big buzz concern around wokery. And the new show has been a kind of an anchor point for these concerns, tying in something which has a long-term traditional understanding with the British public especially, and then using it to challenge this otherness of this dangerous thing called wokeness coming in and taking over this staple part of British society is kind of the narrative here. Which I just don't really buy. I mean, we did kind of see it back in 2005 when the Doctor and Rose, there was the kind of romancy vibe. Russell T Davies, there was a lot more sort of representation of LGBT at that time, especially sort of there was a queer feel to the show. And there was a lot of unrest about that. But the way the news worked wasn't quite the same as it is now, where it's even more especially vicious, because I think the market demands it, because you need to get your clicks, you need to get your sales. We know newspaper sales are on an ever-decreasing drop. It's not a sustainable system, and they fight that. They fight that by really trying to stir the pot. So this is a perfect thing. I don't... You know, is the show in trouble? I think the only reason I could say the show is in trouble is that it's an expensive show to make. And as I've said, this is an extremely saturated market for sort of these sort of big concept shows. You know, it's now they cost a lot, but it's also quite cheap to do compared to, to do it to sort of like film quality than it would have been like 20 years ago. So there's a lot of shows for people to watch instead of it. At the moment, I'm content rewatching some of Westworld. I didn't see the second, third, fourth season, so I'm moving on to that. I'm not thinking about Doctor Who. Before that, I was watching all The Walking Dead. Wasn't thinking about Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Back in 2005, I would be, not because I think it's bad now. It's just because there's just too many other things for it to tap into my brain when it's not on. So that is invariably going to put it into a risky situation. So yeah, I think you could understandably say Doctor Who is at more risk now than it would have been in many other periods because it is now up against so much material, and it's an old show. We've got to face it. It's now 20 years old. Yep. As its newest form, for a show for going for 20 years in its newest form, that is a lot. That is hard, and I don't really think. I think tapping the younger audience is, in a sense, is wise. Can they do it successfully? As you've sort of alluded through anecdotal evidence, probably going to be hard now, far harder than it ever has been. I think if they tried to focus it on, the pre-existing audience of 30, 40, 50 year olds. That would be hard as well because there's so much sophisticated television out there and sequels and stuff they want to see, which they liked when they were kids. It's a really hard market. And I think this is the problem. Doctor Who was made for broad appeal. We no longer have that model in television consumption. The only place it exists is in the sort of 30, 40, 50, 60 bracket for BBC. It doesn't really exist. And I think that is a real struggle for it. Is this why Gatwa might be, which is what we're slowly alluding to, leaving? I don't think it's because of the show's wokeness or issues. No.
There's claims or stories or leaks or whatever that he has offers in Hollywood.
Well, this is it. This is what I would think.
I know he's got some goods. He's in the Barbie movie and he's got some good left field television credits, but I'm not 100% convinced that there's a big Hollywood movie waiting for him.
No, but I imagine there are a lot of opportunities which he's having to pass on because this is a big commitment. It's a show which is, it's a figurehead show for the BBC.
It's also a show that's taking a long time to produce.
Yes.
For some reason.
Because it's bigger. I imagine as well he's probably got a little bit of flexibility in his contract, so he can do other things. I suppose that will slow things down too. That would be the only other reason I could see it slowing down. But I would suspect, after tasting this and knowing what a commitment it is, and how that commitment there's still a risk. It can strangle you to some degree in terms of career, in terms of identity. I think that's still always an issue, the typecasting factor. I could see reasons why he might be thinking, how much do I do of this? And I think that's legitimate. And I think, there are legitimate concerns about it, but I don't think the concerns are built around its wokeness. I think that is concerns of a generation who have kind of left the Doctor Who zone but are still passionate about it. And see changes to how they perceive the show and feel uncomfortable about it and are concerned about it legitimately. But I don't think that is an issue here. I think that's probably a narrative which is being bolstered. I don't think that's why the show is going. I think the show is, if it's struggling, it's because it's just how does a show aim to do mass appeal cope in an era where everything's very nuanced? It is a kind of like a dying breed. Which is a sad thing, unless it really picks an audience. But I don't see what audience it could pick. I think it has. I think that's what Russell Davis has tried to do. He's gone, right, I'm picking an audience. I'm going to aim this at the younger demographic, which makes sense. I need to create a new audience for the show. We will aim it at them and their sensibilities. Broadly, their sensibilities. Not everyone who's young has the same sensibilities. And we'll aim it at them in the same way I did at 2005, which worked. But then in 2005... its only competition was Primeval.
It wasn't even competition in Primeval.
No,
Primeval came along in 2007.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the response to it. That was the only response ITV really had until it just went for sensibly its kind of big, broad variety show-esque appeal shows, entertainment shows. And that did better at knocking into Doctor Who's ratings than Primeval. So it's such a different market.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you can still feel the show doesn't work for you, or you can genuinely feel that it's not as good. But I think at the same time, if we're going to have these debates, we have to acknowledge, and I just don't see it being acknowledged, that this is not even 2013 anymore. This is a very different space for a show which can't do what other shows are meant to do, which is find its demographic. The only space it could possibly work, I think, and this could be a future projection for the industry, for the IP, is if it moved to cinema. Because cinema is a space where you can still get away with kind of broad, you know, fun, high entertainment, family appeal. People will do that, but will they do that at home when they've got several streamers offering 1,000 different things for the audience? I don't think they will. I think the cinema is probably the only really good space left for it to thrive as one-offs. But I don't know. But even again, will people not like that as the change of format?
Okay, so this is one of those little interjections into the conversation where I tell you that if you signed up to our Patreon, you'd be hearing the full discussion right now. As it is, if you're listening to this, you probably aren't on Patreon, and you're certainly not listening to it through Patreon. You can get full-length podcasts from us, which are also ad-free, and come out a few days early. If you go to www.patreon.com/Casterbrus, by doing that, you support the podcast long term. You get the podcast early, as I say, you get longer editions, you get them ad free. There is a paid tier if you want to use it, which will open up a few additional options to you. But our weekly podcast comes out through Patreon first, and it is free. This edition, you're missing about 20 minutes of material by listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from, rather than through Patreon. So we'd really encourage you to go for the full length experience of our podcast. Okay, that's enough from me. Let's jump forward to the later portion of this week's show. Now, one of our regular listeners, Andy Walker, hello Andy, has shared a thought with us. Funny how these things come in cycles. Look where we were almost exactly 40 years ago. I've seen this mentioned elsewhere.
Oh, the Colin Baker.
Yeah, well, Colin Baker, Doctor Who on the Edge of Cancellation. I've seen another comment, and I'm probably not going to be able to find it, but it was something along the lines of a count through of the Doctors. And it basically works out that you've got two cycles of seven. And some groups of those seven are considered popular, and the other ones are less popular. And that's basically, and the show is kind of subconsciously following the same pattern.
But that, to some degree, is generational, isn't it? Is that generations come in and out, and you're going to start seeing cycles.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Happiness Patrol. You could see the Happiness Patrol being in a Shu-Tagawa, that being a Shu-Tagawa story, and people finding it too political, too on the nose, and hating it. And I could almost say here, but they didn't hate it at the time, but they did. But now it's seen with a lot of love. Now it's out of context and people can breathe. They watch and they go, yeah, it's actually got some cool stuff in it. I love it. I think it's a great little show, story.
The thing is, there is something, some along the lines of that, you know, in you know, discussing important topical stuff in Doctor Who. I know people aren't big fans of it, but the Almost People, the Clones one with Matt Smith.
Right, yeah.
That, I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
It was one of my favourite Smiths.
But I didn't like it at the time particularly, but when I rewatched it,
yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot more of his era than I realised when we were reviewing them back in the day.
Yeah.
You take out the space of where... But I think there is an interesting thing in what you're saying, and what our dear listener there was saying, is that you do see those mapping, because it does feel like you sort of see that if you almost imagine Whitaker as being, as we've said before sometimes, that she's almost kind of a Davidson doctor. There's a sort of slightly ineffectual attitude, young, youthful, vibrant, always on the back foot. And then you get Shooty, who becomes the Colin Baker. Then it's like, so maybe you could sort of see that. There's a sort of slight a shift. But I don't think it maps totally.
No. No, well, I mean, it couldn't do, could it? I mean, that would be insane, and you'd be able to see it coming. It's a bit like the... you won't remember this, probably. In fact, you probably have no idea about this. But in the 2002 World Cup, there was a ridiculous betting theory that England would win the World Cup based on a principle called pyramids.
Right.
And something to do with how often Germany and Brazil and Italy had won the World Cup. And that England would win the World Cup in 2002 or 2006, one of the two. I think it was 2002. And it was complete, you know, balderdash. I suspect it was probably a very clever marketing ploy by a few bookmakers. Because it's very difficult to apply patents to things like this. But and I think really the truth is the cause of this is more along the lines of what you say, the generational thing and the shift. But this is stuff that we've been talking about for years, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we have predicted what's happening today, what we're discussing today, but we have discussed at length the impact of streaming and changing demographics on Doctor Who and the wider television area for years. So it's almost inevitable that we will be having this conversation, whether or not this turns out to just be a very overblown rumour or whether there is a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we can see, as was being said, there is in those 20-year blocks, there is definite patterns. But it's patterns not within the show. It's patterns of consumption and cultural behaviour that after 20 years, people are less patient, they probably kind of feel like something old, and they're so used to it. And like Delta and the Bannermen, at the time I watched that, I was like, my God, this is just so, why? And then when I've watched it with Brian as parts of our commentaries, absolutely loved it. Taken out of that the role and the tensions of the time, because at the time you're thinking, oh my God, I'm seeing in the papers, you know, Doctor Who was axed for, or seemed to be axed for 18 months and now it's back. We want it to be good, but this seems a bit childish and oh my God, you know, what's it doing? So you almost feed that same negativity when actually the stuff is actually taken out of context. In 10 years' time, look back at Shooty stuff and I think a lot of people go, actually, some really good stuff there. The stuff that perhaps didn't age as well or wasn't very good. I still hate that first episode personally, but a lot of people loved it. The Christmas special was excellent. I'm still trying to get Magnus on board to do a review of that. I loved it. I thought it was one of the best Christmas specials they did, but it does feel a different show. But then McCoy felt a very different show to Hartnell or more importantly to Baker or to the memory of Baker maybe. Because, you know, we can say, you know, the Williams era was pretty crazy in itself, but people don't remember that. They remember more the sort of Hinchcliffe-y stuff. Mm. So, yeah, there's definitely cycles there. And I think we're at this, I think our point is that we are at a cycle point where we're feeling similar tensions as before. I personally don't think it's to do with the quality of the show, but I do think there is issues within the environment which is impacting the show negatively. In the same way that I think McCoy's era, by and large, was brilliant, but we can't deny at the time, against Coronation Street, against a sort of a growing apathy to science fiction, since nothing could beat the Star Wars or, you know, the film special effects. It had nowhere to go, and so it died. But we don't say now, we don't say that was because of McCoy.
No.
People did in 1992
and
1996, but now we don't. We sort of say, yeah, he was a catalyst, he was a turning point for the show. Yeah, some of his early stuff was, but he did great things. But that wasn't what was said at the time.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see what people say about the Shooty Gatwa era, however long it goes on for.
Well, this cycle, I have noticed a similarity, like a very key similarity. And that is the growing number of American dramas that we have access to.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Back in the 80s, we had all the stuff on ITV, and you also had those insanely expensive soap operas with Joan Collins or whoever.
And there was a lot of anger over it as well. There was the two things we would hear, too many American stuff coming over and too many repeats.
Yeah.
You know, that was the leading discourse. And then in the 90s, there was a point where, you know, Channel 4 was getting to the point where they were saying, we're not going to take any more imports.
Yeah.
We've got to lower this because people are liking. Because Channel 4 was famous for being sort of the gateway for so many of the American imports. You know, Roseanne, Cheers. Yeah. All that stuff came through Channel 4. So, yeah, I mean, we forget these discourses at the time. But, yeah, you're right. I forgot about Knight Rider. You know, that was a big hit for Doctor Buck Rogers, as we remember, you know, Buck Rogers, which is
A-Team was on the same time as Doctor Who as well, wasn't it, at one point, I think?
Well, these were all 5 o'clock shows on a Saturday, weren't they?
Yeah.
That hit against Doctor Who. And they hit against it because people were watching the A-Team. A-Team toys were going through the roof in the mid-80s. It was big. There was not a single Doctor Who toy. So, yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's a really great point about just identifying the patterns in because they will repeat. And it's because a lot of it is because things that go on for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They grow audiences. They grow different opinions. People become too used to them. Their specialness starts to wear off.
Yeah,
and they go
lost
places.
Yeah. And I think also Doctor Who's very kind of staccato scheduling over the past few years has not helped at all, has it?
Yes, absolutely. Good point.
So you lose momentum, etc., and then you've got your Netflix and Disney Plus. You've got these like the Stranger Things. You've got Cobra Kai. You've got, as you say, shows that are very niche shows that are very popular as well. Because those two in particular have broken out beyond their their targets. You know, there's five series of a show about a grown up karate kid. You never would have thought that would be a hit.
What blows me away, and I apologise if I said this last time, I can't remember, but as I said, the Murdoch Mysteries, Canadian detective show, had never heard of it, and it's had 18 seasons.
Wow.
And movies. And I think it would be up your street, to be honest, Christian, because it's very sort of procedural murders, but set in the late 19th century.
Okay.
It's a bizarre. I watched one episode, and I was like, what is this? I kind of hoped it would be my new crack. Well, I don't know if I should say that. My new addictive substances.
Yeah, I'll cut that one out. Before.
Yeah, please do. It would be my new addictive substances. But it wasn't. But it got 18 seasons and it's still going.
Wow.
There's something. Yeah, and I think that's the issue with Doctor Who. Because I mean, if I turn on and I watch, say, I don't know if people watched it, the Arcane animation on Netflix, absolutely fantastic. I've put it bluntly, very gay, very creatively brilliant, but it knows its market. People who watch that, who aren't into that sort of stuff, aren't going to watch it. They just aren't. And that's fine. And it knows that. And it doesn't have to worry about that because it's not aiming at those people. But Doctor Who, it's aiming at everyone. And so really, ideally, it should be nothing. But it can't. And it needs to try and make an identity. And I suppose Davis is at the moment doing the same as he did with 2005. It's like, I'm going to make this show challenging. I'm going to make it progressing. I know this is going to stir up people's issues of it, but at least people are talking about it. At least it will be on the newspapers. You know, he's doing a JNT to a degree. And I get that. I can see why he's stuck doing that. And I just don't see any out for it. I don't see a way that the show, as I say, can survive in the television market as it is. Unless people just accept it as being, you know, a cultural legacy that we should enjoy and just keep going for the sake of it, which I think there's a lot of good reasons for that. Capitalism might disagree, and just enjoy it for what it is. But unfortunately, it's got to compete because that's the world we are in. And I just don't see how it can, no matter how edgy it is in its own way. It's just a hard, hard, rock and hard place.
Yeah. So I think, this is something that's going to progress, and, you know, there's a new season of Doctor Who coming along in a few weeks' time. So we will probably discuss that at some point. This is something we can't really come back to unless something definitive takes place, in which case, it'd be very difficult to say anything different to what we've already said, wouldn't it?
I think the only thing we can say is if people are listening to this, my advice would be watch what Disney does. Because in the end, that is your tell. If it's not making the figures that it wants, then that's the way we'll know, not through the sun or us or any commentaries making speculation. If the people who make money out of it decide it's not to do it anymore, it's because it's not making
money
they wanted it to make.
Yeah.
It might still be making good, but it might not be just worth the value that they're, or the expected investment they want out of it. That doesn't say that the show is bad, but if you're arguing whether it's not got the audience anymore, that would be your answer, is to look to them, probably more than the BBC. Because if I was Gatwa, the fact I'm on a show which has now got a massively stable global platform, that's far more important to me as an actor than the amount of people who watch iPlayer and BBC. You know, if you get I think soaps at the moment, if you get 7 million, for EastEnders get 7 million, that's a good consolidated figure.
Yeah.
And that used to be like 19, 20 million back in the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people go, oh, Doctor Who's only making 3 to 4 million, you think, well, you know, if your flagship, big, massive soap things are only making 7, that's not where the concern is. The concern's with Disney. If Disney drops it as a distribution, then yeah, I think there's probably concerns about whether the BBC will be spending all the money on a show which these days quiz shows do good ratings. Quiz shows do very good ratings that can rival the soaps. So, you know, why spend the money on Doctor Who? I guess because it's a flagship. It's an ID. It's you know, it's a big IP for the British Broadcasting Corporation. That's, you know, it may cost more than they'd like, but that's where its value is. But if the Globe isn't wanting it, who knows? Who knows? Knows with Kilo November Oscar whiskey, not as in November Oscar Sierra Echo, like a lot of Doctor Who pundits would love to jump to because of Day of the Doctor. Just, you know, I just wanted to clarify that. I just don't like. Yes, we're not that sort of people.
No, although if we do come onto this topic again, we could possibly cycle it around the question: was Day of the Doctor the last great episode of Doctor Who?
Well, I didn't even like it that much. I've seen far better. My most favourite has been Jodie Whittaker's last, which was What of the Doctor? I can't remember now.
Is that the one with the Master and the Cybermen, Time Lords?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's craziness to it, but I mean, I absolutely adored the fact they got Ian in Chesterton in there.
Yeah.
That they got Sophie Aldred in there and Bonnie. So from a sort of classic element, I liked it. The Master stuff was over the top, but it was fun. It was crazy. I didn't know where it was going. I felt that there was a real passion, love for the show there.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended with a fun regeneration. I think that was probably the most fun I'd had in the show in a long time, up until this Christmas one, which I really enjoyed. I thought that I had a lot of heart.
It felt like a DWM comic strip.
What, the last one of Jodie Whittaker?
Yeah.
Totally. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. It had those vibes to it.
Yeah.
And I think that felt fresh and fun, and it felt dynamic, and I kind of like, yeah, this is where the show perhaps needs to be.
Yes.
And I think to some degree that energy is there, but like we said, I don't think it's about the quality of the show. And that's not someone who says I liked every episode of the show in the last season, because I didn't. But I don't think that's the issue here. I think it's a broader, more difficult systemic issue about whether Doctor Who can work in a crowded market.
Yep. Okay, well, that's that. So, as ever, any thoughts on what we've discussed, do get in touch. You can email me or James. I'll pass it on to him if you want to speak to him desperately. podcasterebus@gmail.com. And, of course, if you're listening to this this week, we're recording this on February 19th, so if you're hearing this on the 19th, 20th, 21st, you're probably listening to it on Patreon, and you've got it early, you've got it ad-free, and you've got the full-length discussion as well. If you're listening to this on Spotify, then sorry, you've missed out. Get onto the Patreon; it's free. We'll be back for any.
I'm not on the Patreon. Maybe I should get on the Patreon.
You should get on the Patreon. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's free, James. Yeah, you should. Yeah,
it's free, and I get the full version of hearing myself.
Yes, exactly. What more could you want? We'll be back for a new episode next time. Until then, it's goodbye.
This is why we don't get any awards.